you to think for just a moment, close your eyes for just a moment, and think of a place that you view as peaceful. Think about a place that you view as peaceful, a place perhaps you've been experienced through the years, or maybe it's someplace near where you live. Do you have in mind a peaceful place? All right, you can open your eyes and hope you won't snore past this. But sometimes, I've been in church, sometimes I'm so sleepy. When the prayers go a little bit longer, man, I come really close to nodding off. So hopefully that's not you tonight. We're talking about peaceful places, and I know I think of a long stream with a big shade tree. That's kind of and when they take my blood pressure, which is known to be a little high, I usually try to picture myself, you know, basically laying down under the cool shade as a river goes by, try to just calm. Peace is really, I define it as an inner calm, C-O-L-M, inner calm that we have in our soul. We're going to be talking about peace. We're going to be talking about peace probably tonight, in the next week or two maybe. I think if we were all honest before God, we would have to say that at times our peace gauge, if you will, that says how much is in your peace tank, I think a lot of times we have to say, well, it's running pretty close to empty. Because lots of things hits us, right? A lot of things hit us in life. So tonight, if your peace gauge in your life shows that you're almost on empty, this message is for you. Or if your peace gauge says, I'm about half full, this message is for you. And even if your peace gauge is, man, my gauge is maxed out at full, still, I guarantee you that it's possible that something will rob you of that peace, maybe tomorrow, maybe before the day is over, maybe next week. So even the message is for you as well. Talking about peace. Now, the peace we're talking about is the inner calm that we have. But, you know, the Bible talks about a couple things. We're going to kind of hit these and run because it's not the real thrust of what we're talking about. But peace with God, that's mentioned in Scripture, peace with God. Romans chapter 5 and verse 1. Romans chapter 5 and verse 1. I printed all of these verses for me to get there quick, and I'm not sure what I did with it. I don't know. It might be in there on the desk. I bet it is. No, it's on the printer. That's where it is. I printed it and didn't pick it up. Mine like a steel trap. But I'll go ahead and turn there. Romans chapter 5, verse 1. Romans 5, 1. We're talking about peace with God. You know, what alienated us from God? Okay? Particularly sin in the garden, right? And when they sinned and failed God ever since then, the sin nature has been passed on. From person to person to person. We all have that sin nature. And as I've said before, I almost find it ridiculously hilarious for someone to say, oh, we can rid our bodies of this sin nature. No, you can't. You can minimalize it with God's help, but that sin nature is part of who you are. And until we lay this body down, we will have a struggle with the sin nature, the old flesh. And it says, in this verse, Romans 5, 1, that one peace that we can have is peace with God. But since we're alienated from God because of our sin, we need to make peace with God, so to speak. We need to make sure that we've been truly saved. And Romans chapter 5 and verse 1, Romans chapter 5 and verse 1, it says, therefore being justified by faith. Justified really means declared righteous by faith. In other words, someone who's been saved. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Because what Jesus did for us on the cross, that's the means by which we obtain peace with God. Okay? That's one type of peace that's mentioned a lot in Scripture. And what about peace with man? I mean, shouldn't we have peace with our fellow human beings as best we can? Romans chapter 12, verse 18. As Paul's writing to the Roman Christians, he said, if it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. So we have that responsibility to have peace with God. We have that responsibility to live as best we can with humans in a peaceful way. All right? Everybody still with me on that? But tonight we're talking about and teaching about the peace of God that's in our own soul. The peace of God that should indwell us, that inner calm. And that's what this series is going to be about. So we have peace with God, we have peace with man, but what we're talking about is that inner calmness that should be in our soul. And we're looking tonight in particular at the source of peace is God. The source of this inner calmness that we should have, the source is God. You know, the word peace is found 429 times in the KJV. 429 times. 318 times in the Old Testament. 318 times in the Old Testament. You know what the Hebrew word is? Now, you'll know this one. Shalom. Shalom. And so that's the Hebrew word, or the most prevalent Hebrew word that's used in that 318 times in the Old Testament. And there's 111 times the word peace is found in the New Testament in the KJV. Now, the word there, you may recognize this too, but this is a Greek word, irene. You ever heard anyone named Irene? I'm sure, you know, I've not done the total research, but I'm pretty sure that's linked to this idea of peace. So, irene. So you got shalom, you got irene in the New Testament, shalom in the Old Testament. But our God is called, I don't know if you knew this or not, have you ever thought about this? Our God is called the God of peace. The God of peace. And several places in Romans chapter 15, verse 33. Let me read that to you. You're welcome to turn there if you like, but I have it printed out here for me so I get to these references pretty quick. But our God, our Heavenly Father, is called the God of peace. Romans 15:33. It says, now the God of peace be with you all. Amen. Again, as Paul writes to the Roman Christians, the God of peace. Romans chapter 16 and verse 20, it says, And the God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. Another place that he's called the God of peace is Philippians chapter 4 and verse 9. It says, those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. So there's three, and we got some more. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 23. It says, and the very God of peace sanctify you or set you apart wholly, and I pray God your whole spirit and body and soul be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. But the point that I want to make is our God is called the God of peace. Now, without God, would there be any peace in the universe? If he's the author or the originator, I'll kind of get to one of my main points later, but I really think that when we try to find peace with any other source, it's not going to happen. You know what I mean? I want peace, that inner calmness, so I'm going to get high on drugs. Well, you might have that temporary feeling of peace, but it's not going to last. And when you get past that high or whatever, you're going to discover that that's not real peace. Because the peace we're talking about is that inner calmness, and it's an abiding presence of God. It's abiding peace. It doesn't go up and down according to life. It should be a consistent inner calmness within our soul. But when we look, some people look to friends to give them peace. You know, well, I got to talk to my friend. I got to get advice from him. And there's nothing wrong with getting advice from a good godly friend that you have who will give you Christian advice. Nothing wrong with that, but ultimately your peace does not come from advice from your friend or advice from your counselor or a bottle or a drug of some sort. It will not pleasure. Some people think, oh, I just don't have the inner calmness, so I'm going to buy me a boat. I'm going to buy me a boat. I'm going to start riding that boat, floating that boat, on the lake every Sunday morning and blah, blah, blah. That's not going to give you inner peace either. The only place that you can find true peace is through God. And he is the originator of it. You know, we say, well, you know, God is love, God is this, God. But I tell you, God is a God of peace. And if it hadn't been for him, I don't think we'd even know what peace really is, right? So our God is called the God of peace. Let's see, did we look at 1 Thessalonians? How about 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 11? Also calls our God the God of peace. It says, finally, brethren, farewell, be perfect, be of good comfort, be of one mind, live in peace, and the God of love and peace shall be with you. So he originated peace, and he's the one that gives us the peace, and he's the source of our peace all the time. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 20 and 21, it says, here it is again, now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus Christ, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Now, he again starts it out by saying, now the God of peace. Now, isn't that a good thing to know, that the source of our peace is God? Now, sometimes you might buy something from a brand name that's not really too known about. You know, it's an off brand. And you might get it, and you might, it may be a watch. Instead of getting something really what you thought you were getting, you're getting a cheap imitation. But can't we rejoice in the fact that the peace that God gives is a perfect peace? Can we rejoice in the fact that it is a sustaining type of peace as well? So if the Bible calls our God the God of peace, I think he's the source. Now, do you remember this? This peace was announced at the birth of Jesus. Remember that? At the birth of Jesus, the angels, when a multitude of the angels gathered around the shepherds, you know what they said? Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, what? Peace, goodwill toward men. You see, it was announced at the birth of Jesus, and how did Jesus come and give us that ultimate peace? Because he came to live a perfect life and to die upon the cross to pay for our sins. So, main point tonight, the source of peace is God. First of all, our God is called the God of peace. Next, this peace was announced at the birth of Jesus. Thirdly, underneath that main point, Jesus spoke peace. Jesus spoke peace. You say, what reference are you going to there? Well, in Mark chapter 4 and verse 39, do you remember that Jesus and the disciples or apostles were going across the Sea of Galilee? Remember that? And a big storm came up, and he was asleep. And they said, don't you care that we're going to perish? Remember that? When Jesus woke up from his nap, he used three words. Can someone tell me what those three words are to calm everything? Peace be still. So Jesus actually spoke peace while he was in this earth. I mean, I don't care how many apostles might have got up and said, okay, now, calm, and it's not going to do it. And there's a lot of things we can say, well, we think we have the power to do it, but we don't. Only God had that power. He used it through Jesus, his son. And that's one of those miracles I'd love to have seen, wouldn't you? I mean, just see how smooth that water was, all at the rebuke of Jesus. You see, Jesus speaks peace. Another verse that goes along with that line, Psalm 85 and verse 8. Psalm 85 and verse 8. If I can find it on my sheet. It says, I will hear what God the Lord will speak, for he will speak peace unto his people. It says, and to his saints, but let them not turn again to folly. It says, I will hear what the Lord, or what the God the Lord will speak, for he will speak peace. You say, if you're going to have peace in your life, the place you're going to get it, you're going to have to go back to the source, that is God. Jesus spoke peace to the storm, and even it mentions in this that God speaks peace. You know, peace is also a fruit of the Spirit. You know, sometimes we think about the fruit of the Spirit, but sometimes we forget that a fruit is something we're supposed to show to other people, right? It says in Galatians 5, 22 and 23, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, there it is, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. So because of our God being the source of peace, right? And because God the Spirit lives inside of us, right? We should exhibit, we should show these qualities. We should have peace in our life. Now, I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that there's a lot of things going in a lot of people's life. But since our God, our Heavenly Father, is the source of that peace, don't you think we can have that inner calm? That God has it all under control, that everything is good. Even when it doesn't look good, it's still good. So how do you access or partake of God's grace? How do you participate in that? What is the first step of being part or drawing upon the peace of God? What is really the first step? Salvation. You got to be saved, right? So once we are saved, it opens the way for us to have that peace, right? When we're saved, the Holy Spirit comes to live within us, and we can exhibit that peace. We should have that peace with the Holy Spirit. So everything shouldn't make us frazzled. Have you ever been around people that the least little thing, I mean, they're a basket case? You know, it really doesn't have to be that way for a Christian. Because we're drawing upon the peace of God, right? And it's a perfect peace. And once we're saved, He is our Heavenly Father. Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10, verse 15. It says, "And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach," what? "The gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things." You know, not only is God, our God, called the God of peace, it's called the gospel of peace. The gospel of peace. And if you don't have the Lord as your Savior, you've not accepted the gospel. What is the gospel in nutshell form? What is it? It is the... What are you? The gospel itself, specifically, as it's defined in Scripture, is the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus. So when someone accepts that gospel, guess what? That's a gospel of peace. And not in the full sense, but there should be a peace on the inside that you can start to nurture and grow and bear fruit from because you're now born again. So, isn't that good? Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 15. Now, here's another place that it's called the gospel of peace. It says, now this is in the context of the armor of God. The armor of God. And it gets down to the feet. And it says, "And your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace." You know, a lot of things could be said, well, that the gospel was the Bible and it provides stability. And that's what it's talking about. But also, you know, we have the opportunity to share the gospel of peace with other people, right? And they can accept that and they can become born again and be all that God wants them to be. Now, I figured I might be a little bit shorter, not tonight, but the other Tim's not here to enjoy it. So you be sure to pass on to him. The preacher was a little short-winded on Wednesday night. So we're talking about peace, and the main point we looked at tonight, the source of peace is God. So I want to ask you a question. Think about this. Is your peace tank or your peace gauge showing full, showing half empty, or showing almost completely empty? So are you walking around without peace in your life? Well, an important point to remember is that God is always the source of peace. And again, I'll say, if you try to find peace, that inner calmness in your soul from any other source, you will be majorly disappointed. You might even say, if you're trying to find peace in the things of this world, guess what? It's not going to help you. It's not going to end good either. So, again, this peace starts by accepting the gospel, being saved, the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus. And then once we're saved, the Holy Spirit that indwells us should help us as the fruit of the Spirit to show peace. You know, what a good testimony. I know I'm mainly talking to people, I don't know who's tuned in tonight, but I'm mainly talking to people that know the Lord as Savior. But isn't it powerful to have a life of peace? I mean, when you have peace in your life, even when things come up, you know, people are looking at you because they know you're going through something difficult, maybe a major illness or lost a loved one or something, that when we can maintain that peace and that inner calmness, yeah, it's okay to cry. Yeah, it's all okay to be burdened about problems that we have. Just turn it over to the Lord and let the burden seep away. But isn't it a great testimony when we can show peace even in the midst of bad times? Because there's people watching us, whether you know it or not. It could be kids, it could be grandkids, it could be great-grandkids, it could be somebody in church, it could be someone that you see at the store, it could be someone you see at the bank, but they're watching you. And you and I that know the Lord as Savior, we need to not just kind of sweep it under the rug and say, well, I really just don't have peace, but no big deal. We know the source of peace. And when we show it, even in spite of the troubles that come our way, what a testimony. What a testimony. Would they expect you to be falling apart? You're not falling apart. You're like, well, you know, this is not good. I wouldn't plan on this. I wouldn't want this in my life if I had the choice. But guess what? I still have that inner peace. You see, there's nowhere to find that peace aside from God. And I'm thankful that my Heavenly Father is that kind of God. So if you would bow your head and close your eyes for just a moment. Let me ask you the same question I did earlier. What is your level of peace right now? Is your peace tank full, half empty, or near empty? Would you ask God to help you? If you got a full tank, say, Lord, help me to stay full of peace. But if you're falling a little bit short, would you say, God, would you give me that peace that only you can give me? Give me that peace on the inside. May it grow. May it flourish. May I have more and more peace every day because you have everything under control. Would you take just a moment, talk to the Lord about that, if he's speaking to your heart about peace in your life? And as every head is bowed and every eye closed, if there's someone here that's never trusted the Lord Jesus as their Savior, or someone who's listening in who's never nailed that down, let me encourage you, you're not going to have peace in your life. I guarantee you, you will not have peace. You may have reprieve every once in a while and things feel pretty good, but you're not going to have that inner calmness that you could have until you trust the Lord Jesus as your Savior. So I'd encourage wherever you are in prayer and mean it from your heart. And I'd pray to God and say, God, forgive me of my sins. I'm a sinner. I believe Jesus died for me on the cross to pay for my sin. And I confess Jesus as my Savior. And if you mean that from your heart, you can be saved wherever you are. And that starts the process. That puts peace in your heart and life immediately. But we need to cultivate that as Christians. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the subject tonight, the sermon on peace. Lord, as we continue to look more and more at this quality, this fruit called peace, Lord, give us wisdom and may we learn more and more. And Lord, may we all rely upon you for the peace that we need in our life. I know there's times that our peace may seem to be a little bit on the low side, but Lord, you're God, we trust you, and there's no reason for losing our peace because you're a God who has everything under control. We thank you for that. In Jesus' name we pray.